A view glides upward, following parallel grooves in a concrete wall. Reaching a rooftop, the view continues to rise over drab buildings. Words appear. Belgrade, Serbia. Rising higher, the view takes in more run-down high-rises and a wide street lined with parked cars. A middle-aged woman wearing large sunglasses rides in the back of a car. Now, a tenement building looms over the woman as she walks down an alley. Dressed nicely in chunky earrings and a silk scarf, she heads toward an archway marred with graffiti. Seated on a bench, a man sets aside a paperback book as the woman approaches. She slows to a stop. The man looks down toward his lap.
Is that my case?
It is.
That one is yours.
He indicates a wooden case under the bench.
It's not to be taken lightly.
The woman sets her case on the bench beside the man. He opens it, revealing stacks of $100 bills.
In fact, I was kind of hoping he would show up himself.
Well, that's the thing about Mr. Voigt. He never does anything he can get someone else to do for him.
The woman lifts the wooden case onto the bench and opens its lid. Nighttime, a large rectangular mansion with uniform windows stands behind a stone wall. Words appear. The Berkshires, Massachusetts. Inside, at a party, a young man in a sleeveless shirt sips a drink from a crystal glass. He moves through the opulent home past well-dressed partygoers. A blonde woman eyes him as she walks past in the opposite direction. The young man glances at scantily clad people inside a room lit with pink light. He continues down the hallway into another room. He takes a seat at a bar beside the middle-aged woman. She watches him as he shifts uncomfortably in his seat.
Enjoying yourself?
Yeah. This place is incredible.
What's your name?
Joey. Joseph. My friends call me Joey.
Then so will I. I'm Serena.
Serena eats an olive from her drink.
So, you know this guy, Voigt.
Working for him, actually.
No shit.
No shit. I'm sure he would love to meet you.
With a sly smile, Serena slides off her seat and leans in closer to Joey.
There's a place at the end of the hall. Double doors. Be there in 10.
She slinks away. Joey gazes after her. Later, Joey heads down the hall, his hands stuffed into the pockets of his jeans. Moving with slow, measured steps, he approaches an open doorway. He steps inside a gallery space where black marble columns support a second-floor balcony lined with arches.
Hello? Serena?
Many lit pedestals display pieces of art in the octagonal room. Timidly stepping further in, Joey looks up at a diamond-shaped skylight covered in bars that form a geometric pattern. Joey sees a book in a clear case on one of the pedestals and a small carving in another. He approaches a pedestal at the center of the room where an artifact sits uncovered. His eyes focused on it, Joey steps closer. The long, prism-shaped artifact has ornate carvings on its many sides. Joey picks it up in both hands. He turns it and examines it closely.
Beautiful, isn't it?
A dashing, dark-haired man descends a staircase.
Mr. Voigt, There was a woman, and I just... I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. You can hold it. Just answer the question.
Oh, yeah, it's really nice. What is it?
It's...
Voigt paces.
It's a puzzle.
The only one of its kind. forgotten until now.
And it's almost finished. Keep going.
Voight smiles at Joey. The young man turns a thin rectangular piece on one of the sides. It locks into place. Joey glances up toward Voight, then twists a second rectangular piece on another side.
So if I solve it, do I get a prize?
I do.
Arms folded, Voight flashes a charming grin. Joey turns the top and bottom halves in opposite directions. Its two ends pop out about an inch.
Wait, I think I got it.
Chin lowered, Voight watches with an unsmiling expression. Joey presses the bottom end of the artifact back into place. Holding the puzzle in the middle with his right hand, he grips the top end. As he pushes it in, a slender blade pierces his right hand. Eyes wide, Joey looks at Voight, who stares back calmly. Joey pulls the blade from his palm. As blood pools in his hand, he drops the puzzle on the floor. Joey turns for the exit. Voight flips a switch on a panel and a gate closes, blocking the doorway. Joey shakes the gate.
Hey! Hey, anybody!
Voight saunters back to the center of the room as Joey groggily stumbles away from the gate. Voight observes the young man with cold indifference. Joey looks down at the blood in his shaky palm.
What's happening?
In his blurred view, he sees the puzzle shifting shape on its own.
What the fuck did you do to me?
A wall opens and a shimmering light filters in. Voight's eyes flash with excitement. Joey backs away, mouth agape. A chain hooks into his left leg and he falls to his back. Blood trickles from a gaping wound at his knee as a claw digs into his flesh. The chain pulls taut, dragging him across the floor. Joey holds on to one of the pedestals. The puzzle finishes shifting into a new, elongated diamond shape. As Voight picks it up off the floor, a second chain jerks Joey's body. Focused on the puzzle, Voight places it back on its pedestal, balancing it on one of its slender, pointed ends. His attention turns back to Joey as blood spurts up and another chain rattles. Voight turns his attention back to the puzzle, then lifts his gaze to the skylight. Beside him, several chains pull taut, lifting Joey upright off the floor with his arms and legs spread. Voight shuts his eyes and bows reverently.
I am a penitent of the Leviathan. Grant me this audience. Grant me this moon.
In the sky above, light flashes within roiling clouds, cut to black. A title, Hellraiser. Now, a couple in bed.
Order. Order. Yeah. Okay. Okay, go.
Here, right,
yeah,
here.
Go, go, go.
How's this feel? Is it good? Mm-hmm. Would you like that?
Yeah, I love it.
I love you.
What?
Later, wait. They put on clothes as they step out of the bedroom. 6 years later.
Commission said that.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Listen, I got caught in a moment.
No,
all
it's
right.
Fine, Trevor. No. I just think maybe...
Jesus Christ.
They find a young man and woman setting a table and another man seated on a couch.
Hi. You guys are making food?
Yes. Nora made tapas.
Oh.
The man setting the table approaches Trevor.
So, this is him.
This is Trevor.
You told them about me.
Okay, just a little bit.
Okay. Hey, how are you? Good.
This is my brother, Matt, and this is his boyfriend, Colin.
Hey.
Hey.
Nora, the roommate. Sit, there's plenty.
Sit.
The girl gives Trevor a look.
Yeah, you know, I should go. I've got a lot of paintings to deliver. This is basically a work day for me.
No problem.
Yeah. I'll get my jackets. Great to meet you guys. Enjoy dinner. Bye.
As Trevor leaves, the girl faces the other three and shifts on her feet. Colin gives a sly grin.
You guys just heard us fucking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Later, Matt puts the last of the tapas on his sister's plate and steps over to the sink. She hangs her head.
Just say it, Matt.
I don't like him.
You're just intimidated because he's a pretty boy.
What kind of guy hooks up with someone from a 12-step program? Honestly.
What? Is that supposed to be a stab?
Riley, it's not like that. And my concern is you, how you're gonna handle it when he's relapsing. You've been sober for months. What, almost half a year?
Yeah. Don't take away all my vices. I'm a fucking cute guy, for Christ's sake.
Did you really just turn down the TV to listen to us argue?
No.
God, no one takes me seriously here.
That's because you do it enough for everyone.
Yeah, well, someone's got to. The first of the month is coming up real fast. I can't keep covering you.
I know that. Nobody is asking you to. Tits have been shit lately. I'm trying.
Okay. Rye, I love you. I want you to have fun. I'm not out here trying to police your every life choice.
You just want to make sure that I can handle myself, right? Message received. I won't see him.
Daytime. Riley plays pinball in Trevor's apartment.
Here's the thing. He's not wrong. That's the problem. He's not wrong. He means well, and that makes me want to fucking swing on him.
Okay, I'll swing on him for you.
The pinball slips past the flippers.
Whatever. I don't need him to be proud of me or anything. Just be a little nice if he wasn't ashamed.
Just let it go. We're not doing that.
What the fuck are we doing?
She sits on the couch beside him, and he rests his head on her lap.
We're being lonely together. Why you guys want to bury me?
Yeah, I should be looking for a job.
You got a job?
No, I know, I mean, better job. I'm really tired of being broke. What? What?
Forget it. Your brother wouldn't like it, so.
Okay, well, he also would not like me being here. Can't hurt him if he doesn't know.
Okay, right, yeah. But see, it hurts you. You might not be a good girl, Riley, but you want to be. You got a little Matt just kind of sitting on your shoulder, so he may be worth listening to, you know? Maybe.
Riley flicks an imaginary Matt off her shoulder.
Now you can tell me.
There's nothing to tell.
Riley eyes Trevor, then playfully smacks his head.
Tell me, Trevor.
Hey, stop. Hey, come on. All right.
Tell me.
Okay, so you know how I always make runs down to the warehouse district?
Yeah.
So, there's this one spot that we used to drop stuff off at. Totally anonymous. Nobody's ever seen anyone in there. But, like, the shit they had coming in and out, it's like billionaire shit. So I pass it sometimes, and I swear, it's abandoned. Totally abandoned, except for one last shipment.
You want to break in?
Don't have to, I remember the key code.
What's in the shipment?
Don't know.
Who does it belong to?
I don't know. I mean, some rich asshole who's looking to make a profit. They're not gonna miss it. Give me a hand, I'll cut you in.
Taken aback, Riley gives a slight nod.
You know what? I forget I said anything because, you know, you're trying to get your shit together. And I don't want to get in the way of that, so.
She flashes a tight smile.
Shut up, Trevor.
Lightning flashes in storm clouds over the lights of the city skyline. A street lamp illuminates a downpour. A parked van's windshield wipers move back and forth. Behind the wheel, Trevor swigs from a flask.
All right. Point of no return. You sure you want to do this?
Riley nods.
Yeah?
She gives him an uncertain smile, and he offers her the flask. She takes it. Riley lifts it to her nose and inhales. She glances at Trevor and brings it to her lips. She pauses, taking a deep breath, then tilts the flask up. Later, Riley leaves the passenger side of the van as Trevor gets a bag from the back. In the pouring rain, Trevor hops over a fence and Riley follows. They hurry down an alleyway that runs beside a warehouse. Inside, dim light highlights the contours of a corrugated shipping container. On the other side of a rising door, Trevor keeps his hand on a keypad. He lets the door rise a few feet. He ducks underneath. Riley follows. Inside, she passes him a flashlight. Trevor scans the light over the long shipping container. Later, Trevor uses heavy-duty clippers to cut a lock off the container. He pushes a heavy set of double doors open. Trevor shines the flashlight into the seemingly empty container. A safe stands at the far end. Trevor nudges Riley's arm and she pushes him back. They step over to the safe. Trevor crouches down and looks it over. He looks up to Riley.
What do you think?
What do you mean? What? Do you know the combination?
Well, no, I don't.
Later, a sledgehammer hits the combination lock. Riley hefts the sledgehammer up to her shoulder as Trevor sits against the wall watching her. He sips from the flask as she swings it again.
No chance you could get it if I couldn't.
I just tricked everything.
Right, yeah.
Riley brings the sledgehammer down to her side.
See it?
She brings the head straight down on the lock, breaking it free of the safe. Trevor laughs and goes to the safe. He uses a crowbar to pry the door loose.
Can you get it? Can you get it open?
He glances at Riley, then carefully pulls the safe door all the way open. The wooden case sits inside. Riley lets the sledgehammer fall.
Goddamn, boxes within boxes.
She crouches down beside Trevor and pulls the case out of the safe. As Trevor holds up the flashlight, Riley opens the case, revealing the puzzle artifact now in cube form. Drops of dried blood stain the inside of the wooden case.
Is that it? Fuck. God, I thought there'd be like a stack of bonds or some shit.
Riley removes the cube from the case.
It's gotta be worth something. Let's hope so, yeah.
She runs her thumbs over the engravings.
I'll take it if you don't want it.
Yeah. Why don't you hold on to it for now? I'll see if I can find some kind of appraiser, and we'll split whatever cash we can get from it. Yeah?
Okay.
At the apartment, Colin reads as he lies in bed with Matt.
The waves were dead, the tides were in their grave, and the winds were withered in the stagnant air, and the clouds perished.
Darkness had no need of aid from them. She was the universe.
Matt wrinkles his nose.
Shit. Shelley. Percy. Shelley. No. Mary.
Byron.
Fuck. Fucking Lord Byron.
They look toward the hall.
She's fine. Leave it alone.
Colin gets on top of Matt.
Hey, don't fucking leave this bed. Okay.
Matt sits up and puts on a shirt. He finds Riley in the dark hallway, struggling to take off her shoes.
You scared me.
Missed you tonight. Where'd you go?
Out.
Drinking?
Mm-mm.
Bullshit. You can't even take off your shoes.
It's dark in here. I was trying to wake you up. Don't ask me questions if you know I can't answer them, Matt.
Pills?
No. No, seriously, no.
Okay, let me see.
Christ, Matt, I'm fucking clean!
Hey, I worry about you, Rye. You gotta
get
stick
out of
to
my
this.
Room!
Riley, I'm not trying. I love you.
You love having something to fix so that you can feel like a big success in this shitty apartment.
Okay, I see what you're trying to
do. No, you don't know a thing about what I'm trying to do. I'm not... You know what? That's okay. Neither do I.
Okay. You're drunk.
Yeah. Are you jealous? Are you scared?
Sleep it off. And in the morning, pack your shit.
Riley takes a step back and bites her lip.
You don't mean that.
The hell I don't.
Then say it. Like you mean it. Get the fuck out!
Get the fuck out! Like that, you happy? I don't know what's gonna happen to you, ever! You wanna play games? You will lose, Riley! Pack your shit. Get the fuck out of my house.
As Matt storms away, Riley stands motionless for a moment. She leans into the hallway.
I thought you'd never ask!
Later that night, with a bag slung over her shoulder, Riley heads for the apartment building's door. As she exits, she notices Colin leaning against the wall. She starts down the sidewalk.
So long, Colin.
Seriously, come back inside. It's just a bad night. Okay, you're just gonna regret this later.
Riley turns away from him and keeps walking. Her mop of curly brown hair hangs in her eyes as she puffs out her cheeks and quickens her pace. She turns a corner to a row of cars parallel parked on the street. Riley swings her bag into a car, then throws it on the roof.
Fuck!
She kicks the side mirror, breaking it off. Riley leans back against the driver's side door, letting her head drop back onto the roof. Staring skyward, she takes a few breaths. She opens the door and throws her bag and purse into the front seat. At the cluttered trunk, she pulls out a blanket, which dislodges a round metallic pill case. Riley stares at the case, then picks it up. Inside, she finds about 10 little white pills. Her body jittery, she stares at the pills. She turns the pill case over and dumps them out onto the cobblestone street. She grabs the blanket and a pillow from the trunk, then opens the back door. As she sets up her bed for the night, she spots the cube-shaped puzzle. Her gaze lingers on the cube, then she looks off thoughtfully. Now, Riley picks up a few of the pills from the wet cobblestones. She looks at three of them in her palm, then passes them to her other hand. Riley stares at them a moment, then pops them in her mouth. The cube sits beside her on the car's hood. Riley grabs it and walks over to a playground. She hops a fence and wanders across the damp pavement between old pieces of playground equipment. She gives a merry-go-round a push. As she sits on it, she stops it with her foot on the ground. She studies the cube.
So, what's your deal?
Riley notices a circle at the center of one side made up of 5 interconnecting pieces. She gently touches it with her fingertip, and it moves like a dial counterclockwise. A small smile tugs at Riley's lips. She turns one of the pyramid-shaped corners, then flips the cube over. In the center of this side of the cube, she finds a finger-sized hole. Riley turns another corner around, so the engravings match on one side. She looks at the hole again. She carefully traces her finger around the edge of the hole. Very slowly, she inches her fingertip toward the hole. She puts just the very tip inside and gradually sticks it further in. She quickly draws her finger out as several pieces of the cube expand out from the center. Riley studies the new formation of the puzzle.
Shit. Did I break you?
She turns one of the new pieces. She flips the puzzle over. She turns the other popped-out piece and locks it into place. Studying the puzzle, Riley rubs her lips together. As she pushes the two pieces back into the cube form, a blade pops out near one of her fingers. She jumps a little. Relaxing, she squints and takes a closer look at the small, curved blade.
Holy shit.
A strong wind whips through her hair, disrupting her focus on the cube. Riley looks around. As she puts her feet on the ground, she leans forward groggily. Her head lolls back, and she catches herself from falling on one of the merry-go-round rungs. She lets herself lie back. Her feet move along the ground, spinning the merry-go-round. A view from above looks straight down on Riley as she spins. The cube with the blade sticking out rests in the palm of her hand. Riley gazes, droopy-eyed. As she watches the playground whirl past, she sees a figure standing in the mist. Riley sits upright and stops spinning. She scans the park and sees no one.
That blade.
Another figure stands by a street lamp and Riley jumps up.
What's meant for you?
Who's there?
The figure disappears. Riley's frightened gaze scans the playground. A shimmering light plays on some climbing bars.
Come with us!
The demonic creature stands right behind her, its scalp stretched out on both sides like a hood. A second demon holds the puzzle.
If not you.
Blood blooms from a circular cut that appears on Riley's chest. Her mouth drops open in a pained grimace.
Bring us another.
Pins stick out all over the demon's head. It turns the dial.
No.
As the demon presses down on the puzzle's dial, chains with hooks on the ends grow outward from Riley's chest. As Matt sleeps on his back, the hooks lower down from the ceiling and dig into his chest. They yank him upright. Unharmed, he sits up with a look of terror. As he checks his unmarred torso, Colin wakes up.
What's up with you? Are you having a bad dream?
Yeah, I guess so.
Just call her.
She won't answer.
Matt gets up.
Wait, so you're leaving now?
Later, wearing a hoodie over a white t-shirt, Matt walks down the dark street, his eyes on his phone. A tow truck crosses his path. Matt watches chains hanging from the back rattle as it trundles away. Turning his head, he notices Riley's car parked on the street. Matt jogs over and peers inside. Lifting his gaze, he looks over the hood of the car. He narrows his eyes.
Riley?
He sees her passed out on the merry-go-round.
Ry?
Matt quickly climbs over the fence.
Hey, Ry! No. Hey, come on. Hey, what did you take? Ry! Ah!
He stabs his hand on the cube's blade. He quickly yanks it out and throws it across the playground.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, I'm here. Hey.
Waking, she notices blood in his palm.
Okay, come on. I got you. Okay, we're going down.
Later, he sits her down against a wall.
All right, you good? I'm gonna rinse this off and you're gonna stay awake, yeah? Stay awake.
Matt hurries into a public restroom and tries the knob on the first sink. Water doesn't come out. He tries the next sink over and rinses his bloody hand under the faucet. He watches the water mixed with his blood flow down the drain. Outside, Riley shifts her head groggily against the wall. Nearby, the puzzle sits on the ground. Matt's blood seeps down into the cube's engraved crevices and disappears. The blade folds back inside. Riley looks over at it. She watches pieces of the puzzle move on their own. In the bathroom, Matt turns off the water and stares down at the blood-stained sink. His vision blurs. He turns his head toward the door. With a quizzical brow, he takes a few steps toward it. The tile walls go in and out of focus. Matt brings a hand up to his ear and works his jaw. Blinking hard, he gazes up at a fluorescent light fixture. He blocks his eyes with his hand and squeezes them shut. Outside, Riley becomes more alert, her gaze on the moving puzzle. She sits up straight. In the bathroom, Matt lowers his gaze from the light to his injured hand, then looks at himself in the mirror. His reflection gazes back blankly. Matt clutches his chest. His gaze drops to the sink where thick blood gurgles up from the drain. Tilting his head to one side, Matt steps closer. A wall slides back away from him and opens, revealing a dark stone-walled corridor. Shafts of shimmering light filter in. Outside, the puzzle continues changing its configuration on its own. Pieces open, spin, twirl, then come back together to form a 12-sided prism. Riley stares, transfixed. She runs into the bathroom and finds it empty. She checks a couple open stalls, then pushes in the door of a third. Lips parted, she looks around and notices streaks of Matt's blood in the sink. Later, a paramedic shines a light in Riley's eyes.
All right, look up. Did you take something tonight? Pills? Anything?
I don't remember.
Did you mix anything with the alcohol?
I don't remember.
Rubbing her fist against her chin, Riley looks over at Colin and Nora, who talk with the police officer in the playground. As Nora talks, Colin focuses on Riley, who sits on the tailgate of an ambulance. Morning. At the apartment, Riley holds the newly shaped puzzle. She looks up as Colin shuffles in. Nora gazes expectantly.
Is there any luck?
No. Any word?
No.
So what now? I mean, what should we do?
We wait, because the cops can't do anything yet. They said a couple drops of blood on the sink isn't enough, apparently, and it might not even be his.
It's Matt's blood.
Yeah, how do you know that, Riley?
I told you he cut himself on this.
What? On that? What is that? You didn't tell us about that.
I don't know. I didn't. I was really fucked up, okay? And I was in and out of it, and I wasn't expecting for Matt to just be there, and the pills were kicking in, and I was seeing things.
What things?
I don't know. It was just crazy, fucked up shit. You wanted me to tell you? I'm telling you. I know that I saw.
Tell me about Matt. What he said. What he did.
I am. He woke me up. His hand was bleeding. He went into the bathroom and then he never came out.
You never saw him come out, but you just said that you were in and out of it fucking blitzed. So what did you miss, huh? Because he wouldn't just leave. That's not him.
I know that.
So fucking think, Riley, please.
Nora looks from Colin to Riley.
I'm trying.
Riley shrugs.
I told you not to leave.
Colin nods, glaring pointedly at Riley. She gets up from her seat.
Riley?
No, I just...
She squeezes out past Colin in the doorway. Later, Riley sobs as she drives. She covers her mouth, then wipes her eyes. Meanwhile, Trevor showers. He lifts his head, then turns it with a quizzical look. At the door, he peers through a peephole and pauses thoughtfully. He opens the door.
Riley.
Riley wraps her arms around him in a tight hug.
Oh. Hey, what are you doing here?
She kisses him.
What happened?
She kisses him some more, and he lets himself give in to her. He picks her up, and she wraps her legs around his waist. He shuts the door as he carries her further inside. Later, in bed, under a sheet, Trevor thrusts slowly on top of Riley. Eyes closed, Riley bites down on Trevor's thumb. He runs it down her bottom lip. Her head turned to one side, Riley opens her eyes. One of the demonic creatures stands there, watching them. Riley bolts up and covers herself. She points, but the demon is gone.
Right, what? What?
What the fuck is happening?
What? Riley? What is it?
I don't know.
Later, they sit together.
Okay, how many did you take?
Three.
Same stuff?
Yeah, it's the same shit. It's never made me fall and hallucinate before. I'm not on anything right now. Why the fuck am I seeing shit still?
No, I know. That's why we're laying all this out, okay?
They look at the puzzle.
How did you get it to change, like, from the cube into that?
I didn't. It changed on its own. Look. It's a puzzle. See, the pieces move. If you get them to lock into place, then you solve part of it. But now it's like, it's on the next step or something. Here, you try.
Fuck no.
He draws away from it.
You believe me?
Yeah, of course. I told you I don't fuck with shit like that.
Yeah, but you really believe me. What is this thing? Where did it come from?
I have no idea.
So what about the shipping container? Whose shipping container is that?
I don't know, okay? They never showed up to claim it, so...
And the building? Who owns the building?
Trevor shrugs.
Well, can we find out? There has to be a name somewhere.
Later, a clock adorns an institutional building. Inside, Riley and Trevor follow a man in scrubs up a staircase. As they head down a wide hallway, they pass a gray-haired patient.
Riley, this feels a little crazy.
There are no other Serena Medicars. I just want to talk to her.
Trevor looks around uneasily as he follows Riley into a sunny sitting room. A woman sits at a table by a wall of windows. She wears an oxygen mask attached to a mobile tank at her side. Biting her lip, Riley cautiously approaches.
Serena?
The dark-haired Serena lowers the oxygen mask. Much frailer looking than before, the middle-aged woman looks up at Riley.
Hi. I know you don't know us. My name's Riley McKendry, and this is my friend Trevor. And we actually have a few questions that we wanted to ask you, if that's okay.
As Serena looks from Riley to Trevor, he leans in.
Maybe it's a bad time.
Bad time? My lungs are rotting out. I'm fucking dying in this place. What's this about?
A warehouse?
You'd have to be more specific.
Your name was on the deed? You had something shipped in? It's still there.
It wasn't shipped in. It was locked up. And it isn't mine.
Well, can you tell us whose it is?
How do you know about this? And why do you care? You have no idea whose business you've stepped in. Roland Voigt was monstrous and sadistic.
Roland Voigt?
Trevor blinks.
Is that who you work for?
I sorted out his mess of an estate, and that was the last thing I ever did for him. Not proud of the things I did. What you're after is dangerous. It ended Voigt's life, and it will end yours too. Or worse.
Fuck this. Fuck Riley. Let's go. Come on.
Trevor heads for the door, then turns back.
Riley. Riley. Let's go.
Riley glances at him, then takes the puzzle from her bag. She sets it on the table. Serena stares grimly at it.
Is this what you're talking about?
She studies its 12-sided shape with a grave expression.
Who opened this?
Trevor shifts on his feet and bites his thumb.
This is not the first configuration. Who touched it?
My brother.
And now he's gone, isn't he?
Riley's lips part. She nods.
So you've seen them? Roland used to see them too. People thought he was crazy. Angels, he called them. You'd think a devil would know a devil.
Serena covers her mouth. Trevor takes Riley's arm.
Let's go.
Give me some water.
Reluctantly, Trevor crosses the room to the door. Riley and Serena watch him leave. Serena lowers her hand. She grabs the puzzle and gets up from the table.
I'm taking this back for your own good.
Riley returns her attention to her.
Hey, why don't you put that down?
I'm locking it up. I'm sorry, I've got nothing else for you.
What? Come on, give it to me. Give it to me, Serena.
No!
Serena!
No!
Please give it back!
You don't know what you're doing!
Back!
As they both grab at the puzzle, pieces of it turn and lock into place. The blade pierces Serena's hand. Riley pulls it away as blood drips down between Serena's fingers. Serena gapes at the wound. Trevor returns.
What happened?
Serena lowers into a seat.
What happened?
It's okay. I did it to myself.
Riley shoves the puzzle back into her bag and pulls Trevor with her toward the door. In a parking lot, they hurry to Riley's car.
What the fuck happened?
I don't know. The thing was on the table, and then she picked it up. She tried to take it from
me. It was a bad idea then, right?
What are you talking about? She said that he's gone? How would you know that? How would you know that?
Slow down. Let's just unpack everything, all right? This is a lot to process here.
We're not in a fucking meeting, Trevor.
Sorry, I'm trying to fucking help.
Riley throws her bag in the back seat as she gets behind the wheel. The cloth bag shifts slightly as the puzzle moves within it. Inside, Serena wears her oxygen mask as an orderly pushes her in a wheelchair. As she passes a doorway, she sees part of a wall retreating. Something grows over a window, blocking its light. The orderly parks Serena's chair in an infirmary and puts on the brake. He faces a nurse.
Hey, she's feeling bad. She cut herself pretty bad.
The doctor just stepped down.
Okay.
Let me check. Maybe she's still here.
The orderly and nurse step out of the room, leaving Serena alone. She turns to see a patient lying in bed, partially blocked by a privacy curtain. She looks to the doorway.
Hello.
A bright light flickers. The wall in the hallway recedes, revealing a stone-walled passage. Shimmering light plays on the walls around a window. The room lights go dark. One of the demons steps past the infirmary door. Serena stands up with her back to it and starts to walk away. Her mask gets yanked back and the tank falls over. Serena slips the mask up over her head. As she stands frozen, the mutilated creature steps into the room. Two brass bars down its back hold open layers of flesh and muscle to reveal its spinal cord. As the creature shuffles past Serena, the ill woman watches with wide, glistening eyes and a slack jaw. The creature stops by the coughing patient's bed. Serena turns and hurries for the exit. Out in the hall, she stops to catch her breath. Beside her, the stone passageway leads to a large spinning device hung with chains and dripping with blood and flesh. Serena runs down the hallway. As she turns a corner, she sees the demon with the hood-like scalp standing at the top of some steps. As the creature slinks toward her, Serena tries one locked door, then another. She rushes back down the hall the way she came and slides to a stop as the first demon steps into her path ahead. Serena turns and sees the hooded demon walking toward her from the other end of the hall. A third mutilated creature steps out in front of her. Surrounding her on three sides, the demons close in. Standing still, Serena pants as light flashes over her terrified expression.
I'm sorry.
She lowers down to her knees. The hooded demon steps forward, the skin of her throat flayed open in a diamond shape.
Sorry for what I have done. Have mercy.
A second demon with a ripped open jaw comes up behind Serena and holds her head. The hooded demon slides a pin with a large white ball at the end from the second demon's eyeball and puts it in Serena's mouth. Now, Riley's hands type on a computer. She types Roland Void into a search engine. Several images and links pop up in the results. Words under one picture read, Investor, Art Collector. Riley scrolls past articles titled, Decadent and Unashamed, The Debauchery of Roland Voight, and Leaked Photos Allege Millionaire Voight's Dark Side. She clicks on one titled, The Vanishing Act of an Occult Collector. The top of the new page features a black and white photo of a serious-looking Voight. Riley glances at the puzzle resting on the table beside her. It now has a star-like shape. Resting her head on her hand, she turns her attention back to the article. She scrolls down and pauses on the end of a sentence. Roland Voigt was presumed dead. Blinking, Riley shakes her head. She steps away from the computer and parts a window curtain. In the street below, she sees Trevor leaning against his van and talking on his phone. Later, Trevor returns to his apartment.
Trevor.
Hey.
Hi, come here. I just found so much weird shit about this boy guy. All sorts of fucked up sex stuff, accusations. There was money laundering, too. And then 6 years ago, he just disappears. Nobody knows what... What? What's wrong?
The lawyer's gone, too.
What? What do you mean? What are you talking
Lineker.
About?
I called because I was worried about
Hurry
her
on.
Hand, and they said that she wasn't there. She was in the infirmary, and then she wasn't, and no one saw her leave, so...
Fuck.
Yeah, fuck. We need to get rid of that thing, Riley, all right?
Riley nods. She turns the computer to face Trevor.
What are you doing?
First my brother, then Serena Menaker, the same exact shit 6 years ago. Look... In the weeks leading up to Voigt's disappearance, there were others, too. There was a groundskeeper, there was a sex worker, and there were probably ones that nobody even knew about. And they're all loosely connected to him and his estate, and they're all fucking gone. They're all gone. It's happening again. I know that this guy has something to do with it, and I know that that thing does, too. It opens up, and it cuts you. And then when it does, you... We have to go there. To his estate, it's not that far.
The article shows a photo of his Berkshire's mansion. Riley gets an incoming call from Colin.
You gonna get that?
Yeah.
She steps away with the phone.
Hey, Colin, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Where are you?
I'm hanging out at Trevor's for now.
Okay, where is his place? I'll come get you.
No, that's okay, I'm doing stuff.
We're all doing stuff, okay? Like, but we should be doing this shit together, because I don't know what the
hell to do here. That's the fucked up part of all this shit, like Matt would.
Yeah, he would.
Behind her, Trevor leaves.
Okay, so I'll come get you.
Riley lowers her phone and looks to the table. The puzzle's gone.
Trevor!
She finds him in a stairwell.
Trevor, what the fuck are you doing?
I'm tossing this thing, all right? No one's gonna know the difference,
but
okay?
The difference is I need to find Matt. Don't you get that?
Can we at least talk about it, please?
Talk about it? You don't want to talk about it. That's why you fucking took it.
She grabs it back from him.
I thought you believed me.
Well, I do. I do believe you, Riley, all right?
Then I thought that I could trust you.
She storms back up the stairs. Trevor watches her go. Daytime, Riley travels down a two-lane road. Gazing ahead, she blinks and purses her full lips. The puzzle sits on top of her bag on the seat beside her. A high bird's view looks down on Riley's car as it follows the winding road through a thick green forest. Later, Riley stops the car on a narrow road beside the entrance to a dirt drive. 50 yards up the drive, overgrown foliage partially conceals a closed gate. Riley turns the wheel and slowly pulls up to the gate. She eyes it a moment, then makes a move to get out of the car. She stops as she sees the gate swinging open on its own. Eyes shifting warily, she slowly pulls through the gate and continues up the drive. Lifting her chin, Riley pulls the car to a stop. Up ahead, Voigt's mansion stands completely covered in a framework with an intricate geometric design. Eyeing it with a quizzical frown, Riley grabs her bag and the puzzle and gets out of the car. Moments later, she walks up stone steps to a lawn overgrown with weeds. A pathway leads to more steps and a portico at the front of the estate. With the strap of her bag slung across her chest, Riley steps forward, taking in the grand entrance. She crosses the portico to the tall glass front doors and tries the handle. Finding them locked, she cups her hands around her eyes and tries to peer in. Later, she walks to a corner of the house, looking up at the rectangular shapes of the imposing cage. Shielding her eyes from the sun with her hands, She gazes up toward the top of the building. As she lowers her gaze discouragedly, she notices a small window at ground level framed by a square shape in the cage. Now, Riley slides in through the narrow window feet first. Standing on a counter, she finds herself in a large kitchen. Bottles and dirty plates sit scattered on an oversized island. Stacks of plates and pots fill a counter that lines the room. Riley hops down, grabs her bag, and heads out. Stepping into an open doorway, Riley looks both ways down a hall before venturing out further. As she walks, she takes cautious steps and glances over her shoulder. She reaches a staircase where a bright shaft of sunlight falls from an upper window. Riley slowly climbs the stairs. Reaching the top, Riley steps into a wood-paneled hallway. She pushes open a pair of double doors, revealing the gallery room. Lips parted, Riley warily takes in the room's marble columns and high ceiling as she steps inside. Cloth coverings drape several of the pedestals. Others sit empty and dust-coated. As Riley looks around the space, she notices a control box with a blinking red light at the top. She opens it and finds an array of switches. Riley flips one of the switches, and a light behind her turns on. Riley looks around, then tries another switch. Several sconces and a chandelier turn on across the room. Turning, Riley flips another switch, and more light fixtures illuminate. She tries another. A gate behind her slides closed, cutting her off from the hall where she entered. Startled, Riley stands still, taking deep breaths.
Hello?
She peers out from behind the pillar where the control box hangs. She flips the switch again, and the gate slides open. As she flips another, a second gate closes off the opposite doorway. Riley looks at it, then opens it again. She flips another switch. Her gaze follows the sound to the skylight. Bars close in on over it in a star-like geometric pattern. Riley looks around, then hits the switch again. The bars retract from the skylight. Riley walks to the front of the house as the framework parts and slides away from the front doors. She approaches one of the doors and unlocks it. She opens the door and peers out at the sunny front lawn and patio. Glancing over her shoulder, she heads back into the house. Later, Riley finds a partially open door and pushes it open all the way. Her gaze searches a large, cluttered study decorated with artwork and long, heavy curtains. Stepping further inside, Riley looks around. She drops her bag and goes to a wall covered in charcoal drawings depicting the various mutilated creatures. Riley snatches a drawing of the demon with the pins in its head. She runs her finger down the detailed drawing of its body. Later, Riley clears clutter off a large blueprint of the cage around the house and rifles through documents, drawings, and books. She finds a black leather book with a golden hexagonal symbol on its cover. Riley sits down at the desk and flips it open, finding handwritten notes and drawings inside. The notes read, "Oftentimes lately this process is met with company. They reveal themselves to me again, ushering me forward, as eager as I am to see it completed." Riley reads another passage. "Each Cenobite is uniquely punctured and mutilated, more than any human body can withstand, but she is a miracle of excess." Riley turns the page and finds six different drawings of the puzzle titled Configurations. The words "Lament Life" label the cube configuration. The next labels read "Lore Knowledge," "Lauderant Love," "Liminal Sensation," "Lazarus Resurrection," "Leviathan Power." Riley sits back and brings a knee up as she reads the journal. Later, night falls outside the mansion. Inside, Riley finds a drawing of the puzzle in its long diamond shape. Words beside it read, "Audience with God." Riley shuts the journal and whips around in her seat. She finds the hallway behind her empty.
Matt?
Slowly, she turns her head and rises from the chair. She heads out into the hall.
Riley!
Matt!
Help me!
Where are you?
Riley!
Matt!
She runs down a curved staircase into a dark chamber. She stops short, mouth agape. Matt stands at a mirror in his hoodie. Riley covers her mouth. He slowly turns to face her.
Is it really you?
Do you want it to be?
Riley nods. She runs over and wraps her arms around him.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
As she squeezes him, her fingers sink into bloody flesh.
Bring me back.
In the mirror, she's hugging a skinless body. She backs away.
Riley, it's me. It's Colin. It's me.
Behind Colin and Nora, Trevor turns on a red-tinted light. Matt is gone.
I don't understand.
It's okay, Tracy. We're here.
What the fuck is going on?
We talked to Trevor and came to find you.
Help.
The door was open. We heard you screaming. I figured you needed some help.
Help? I don't need help. Help with what?
We're just here to bring you home.
No, I'm not going home. I'm here for a reason. I'm not going home.
Colin turns to Trevor.
Could you give us a second? Seriously? Riley, we need to... What? Just trust me on this, dude.
We'll be upstairs. I'm so glad you're okay.
As Nora ushers Trevor up the curved stairs, Colin sits beside Riley on a raised mat. Colin eyes her worriedly as she takes heavy breaths. Upstairs.
Does someone even live in this place? I mean, what is this? Right? What are we even doing here, okay? Let's just grab Riley and just get the hell out, right?
Hey, chill. This isn't the first time you've had to track her down. Just give us some space.
Space. Yeah. All right. Might as well see what they got left.
Trevor steps behind a bar.
Shady.
He puts a bottle on the counter.
Bingo.
He blows dust from two glasses.
All right. What's your pleasure, ma'am?
We don't drink when Marty's around.
Right. Okay, I'm gonna find the bathroom real quick.
He takes the bottle.
Sure.
Downstairs, Riley looks at Colin and presses her lips together. Colin looks down.
What is this place?
I don't know. A fuck dungeon?
What, do you want to tell me what this is about?
Riley looks him in the eyes. Meanwhile, upstairs, Nora wanders around behind the bar. She notices a panel with a blinking red light and crouches down to it. She tries a few of the switches, but nothing happens. She looks around with a curious frown, then tries another switch. In the bathroom, Trevor looks up from the bottle, then frowns at himself in the mirror. With Nora.
God.
She tries another switch, and a small lamp on the bar turns on. As Nora flips more switches, lights around the room illuminate. Across the room, a panel in a wall pivots open. In the study, Riley shows the journal to Colin.
So according to Voight, the puzzle box, it has six sides, six configurations, there are three left. And then it says whoever possesses the final configuration is granted a passage to another realm, to an audience with God.
Riley, since when do you believe in God?
What I'm trying to get to is that this God, whatever it is, offers choices.
to whoever holds the final configuration. Get there, then you choose your ultimate desire. Life, knowledge, love, sensation, power, resurrection. You see where I'm going?
No, I don't. Actually,
Matt, what if this brings him back?
Mouth agape, Colin rubs his neck.
Okay, Riley, let's just close this up and get out of here.
Meanwhile, Nora peeks into the hidden doorway and finds a stone-walled passage with handrails running along both sides. She walks all the way in and takes a few slow steps down the passage.
Colin?
As she turns back, the hidden door shuts.
Shit! Fuck! Trevor?
She turns on her phone's flashlight.
Trevor?
In the hall, Trevor looks around and approaches the bar. He turns back to the wall and knocks on it.
Nora?
Jesus Christ, you scared me! Why did you shut the door?
I did, you called my name. I came back.
Get me out of here. There's a panel behind the bar. One of the switches.
Okay, hold tight.
All right.
Trevor hurries behind the bar and finds the panel of switches. In the study.
Okay, yes, Riley, this is a lot. It's a lot, and I get it. I get it. Okay? I'm not questioning you. I'm just questioning this.
The box, you have to get it to change. You have to mark a sacrifice. And then they come to collect.
A drawing shows a person strung up by the chains.
That's how you get your prize. Here, look.
She reaches into her bag.
Wait, where's the box? I don't have it.
In the hidden passage.
Have you found it?
Yeah, which switch?
Try all of them.
All right.
As Nora waits anxiously by the door, elsewhere in the passage, someone with a mechanism sticking out of their chest turns the pieces of the puzzle. Trevor tries a bunch of switches.
Anything?
Nora tucks her hair behind her ear, staring at the door.
Have you found it?
The person stabs her in the back with the puzzle blade. She drops her phone. As she runs away down the passage, Trevor looks up. In the study, Riley and Colin stop what they're doing. They run out of the room. Trevor pounds on the hidden door. Nora reaches for the puzzle sticking from her shoulder blade. She sees the man with the mechanism in his chest using the handrails to support himself as he chases her. Nora feels her way along the wall and stumbles out into the gallery room. As she scoots back along the floor, the door she came through closes. Riley and Colin rush in.
Oh my God!
Nora, are you okay? Are you okay? What happened?
My back.
Colin sees the puzzle in her back.
What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? Okay, I'm gonna pull it off. Okay, just...
He yanks it out of her.
There's a knife in that!
Oh fuck! Oh shit! I'm gonna try to apply pressure.
Trevor arrives.
What happened? What happened?
I don't know. We were just in the other room.
Fucking help me get her up then.
Oh my God. That wasn't... The wall.
What did she say?
I don't know. She's out of it. I don't know.
We need to leave.
We need to call an ambulance.
We need to leave
now.
We don't
know what the fuck we're doing.
Let's go. Get out of here. She's in danger. Get her up off the floor. Go.
As Trevor and Colin lift Nora to her feet and carry her out, Riley watches the blade retract back into the puzzle.
Fuck.
She picks it up and runs after the others. The man in the walls watches through a narrow gap. A shaft of light reveals his face as Roland Voigt. Outside.
We have to go.
Load you up in the back, all right? Come on.
Colin supports Nora as they follow Trevor to his van.
Nora?
Nora looks at Riley, her vision blurred.
Okay.
My head bells.
What?
All right, go.
What did she say?
Yeah.
I got it. Just go. It's happening.
As Riley looks around, Trevor hurries to his door.
Riley, you coming with us? You falling behind?
Yeah, let's get the fuck out of here.
Riley climbs in the passenger seat.
I'm coming. All right. Hurry, go.
headlights blazing, the van backs up, then speeds forward down the driveway. Behind the van, a portion of the road opens up, revealing the stone-walled passage beneath. In the back of the van, Colin tends to Nora.
Nora, hey, stay with me, babe. Come on, keep your eyes open for me. Okay?
They come to the gate.
Come on.
The gate slowly opens. As Trevor speeds through, the van scrapes against the gate. In Riley's hands, the puzzle moves. She drops it.
What is that? What is it doing?
It's changing. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? What the hell is it doing?
I don't know.
Changing into what?
Where's the turn? We missed it.
No, the main road's left.
No, it's not. I was just here.
Yeah, so were we, all right? Fuck!
Trevor slams on the brakes, jostling Colin and Nora in the back. As Trevor speeds in reverse, another rectangular-shaped hole opens up in the road. The van turns right.
Go. Are we lost?
We're going down the wrong road.
No, we're back. No, we're not.
Yes, we're going the wrong way.
In the back, Nora's eyes blink open. Lying on her side, she looks at her foot, which goes in and out of focus. Through the van's back windows, she sees a red light illuminating tree branches as they speed past. Her brow furrows as the rear of the van breaks off from the rest and draws further and further away, creating the stone-walled passage. Nora sits up and watches the van's doors retract. She turns around and sees Colin, Trevor, and Riley at the front of the van at the far end of the stone passage. Her friends pull further away until they disappear into darkness, and Nora is left alone in the dark, stone-walled passage.
Colin. Riley.
Shimmering light filters in around her, revealing one of the mutilated Cenobites standing before her. It takes a few steps closer, and Nora tries to scoot backward away from it. A second Cenobite enters next to the first. With no eyes or nose and its skin pulled away from its jaw, it chomps its teeth at Nora. Nora jumps to her feet. She turns to run but stops short, her eyes wide. The Cenobite with the pins in its head stands before her and lifts a finger. Nora turns her back to her. Two hooked chains fly past the pinhead Cenobite and grab Nora's ankles. More hook into her shoulders. The chains pull taut, bending Nora backward, her arms splayed. The pinhead Cenobite steps closer, a finger still raised. Pins with white balls on the ends stick out from intersections on a grid carved into her face. Slowly, she raises her other hand, causing the chains to reposition Nora's body. Still bent back, she hangs suspended above the floor and moves in closer to the Cenobite. Her head lolls back and she looks pleadingly to the Cenobite.
Oh, God, please, God. Oh, Father, God, heaven, heaven, be my name.
What is it you pray for? What is it you pray for? What did you like? A joyful note. Without change. Without end. Heaven. There's no music in that.
Slowly, the Cenobite withdraws one of the long needles from the middle of her forehead. Nora grimaces. The Cenobite brings the point of the needle to the side of Nora's neck. As she sticks it through, a view from inside shows the needle slide through her windpipe. The end of the needle comes out the other side of her neck.
Oh,
she moves the pin around.
There is so much more the body can be made to feel.
She withdraws the pin from Nora's neck. With a motion of her hand, she moves Nora's body upright.
And you'll feel it all before we're through.
The Cenobite with the chomping jaw takes Nora's face in its hands. As the hook in her shoulder pulls at her flesh, blood rains down on the Cenobite's teeth. Riley sees the attack in the rearview mirror. The pinhead Cenobite meets her gaze and Riley gapes. Nora! The chains yank the flesh and muscle from Nora's back.
What the fuck?
Oh, shit!
As Trevor looks back, the van crashes. Cut to black. Now the van's tire spins. Trevor presses his foot hard on the accelerator. Colin gets out. Trevor and Riley open the back doors of the van.
Nora! Nora! Nora!
They find only Nora's blood. Riley backs away. Later, Riley and Colin crouch in the middle of the dirt road as Trevor closes up the back of the van. Riley hangs her head.
You were right. We should have thrown it away. I shouldn't... You shouldn't be here right now. You guys shouldn't be here.
You came on her own.
No, you came because of me, because it was my fault.
We don't have time for this, okay? We don't have time for this. I'm sorry, but we don't, okay? We need to call the cops. We need to let them search, okay? Maybe they'll find her. Who knows?
They're not going to find her.
Then
you
they won't.
That.
But I have no interest in hanging around here any longer, okay? We have to get back to the house. Fuck that house. What? Listen, that's where Riley's car is, okay?
There is nothing good in that house, Trevor.
Okay, I understand that, but we have to make some decisions here. Once we get there, then we can talk about what we want to do.
As the guys argue, Riley stands up and walks away from them. Up ahead, she sees railings blocking off either side of a short bridge. Riley looks over at the open passenger side of the van and grabs the newly configured puzzle from the floor. She runs with it down the road to the middle of the bridge. Standing at the railing, she pauses to look at the puzzle, then lifts it overhead to throw it into the water.
Wait. Not yet. Accept the pain you have wrought.
The pinhead Cenobite stands on the water.
Greater delights await. We wish to see you proceed.
I didn't ask for this.
But you did.
Now she stands beside Riley. Breathing hard, Riley looks down.
What are you?
Explorers in the further regions of experience. Of sensations, Rim. Our gifts are boundless.
I don't want them.
Yes, you do. Our God awaits. You know what it can offer.
Resurrection.
Your brother's ending was exquisite.
What?
Would it bring you comfort to see him again? Two more, and he is yours. Feed it. Their pain. Their blood. Unlock the next configuration. And then the last.
Riley looks at the puzzle in her hands.
No. I've done enough.
Enough is a myth.
The puzzle moves in Riley's hand. She pulls the blade from her palm and sees blood pooling.
We will not be denied. Your blood is in our hands now. Ours to claim at any time. But the box I leave in yours. If not you, another. Choose. Two more.
Riley looks down at the puzzle and her bloody hand. As she lifts her gaze, the pinhead Cenobite is gone. Colin and Trevor run down the road toward her.
Oh, shit, shit, babe, what did you do?
It wasn't me, I didn't do it.
Come on, hey, it's okay, let's just go, let's just keep walking.
Okay.
As they walk toward the gate, Riley keeps her injured hand up. Colin stays close to her.
Riley, hey, are you good?
Are you okay?
Are you okay? Hey, look at me.
Ahead of her, Trevor blurs.
I'm not gonna do it.
What?
I'm not gonna offer you up.
Trevor stops them as he sees the pinhead Cenobite standing in the road up ahead. The road opens up between them. The chomping Cenobite walks upstairs out of the new opening.
What the fuck is that?
As Trevor and Riley take off running, Colin stands frozen in place. Trevor and Riley reach the closed driveway gate.
Fuck you, dude, let's go! Come on!
Trevor climbs it.
Come on, Riley.
Riley sets the puzzle down on the other side of the gate and starts to climb. Running after them, Colin trips. On the other side, Riley picks up the puzzle.
Colin, get up!
Colin! Colin, get up! What are you doing?
Come on, man!
Colin, get up!
Colin cowers on the ground, covering his head with his arms. The chomping Cenobite strides right past him and heads for the gate. The Cenobite grips the gate's bars and pushes it all the way open, backing Riley and Trevor against a wall. Trevor's leg gets pinned between the bars and a box jutting from the wall.
No!
The demon reaches through the gate bars for Riley but can't grab her. It pulls Trevor up against the gate.
Riley!
Riley turns groggily from Trevor to a rectangular cutout in the wall. On the other side, she sees shimmering light pass over the pinhead Cenobite, who stands motionless, watching. As Trevor tries to push the chopping Cenobite's head back, his arm slips through the gate. The Cenobite sinks its teeth into his arm. Riley looks down at the blade sticking out of the puzzle. She drives it into the Cenobite. As she withdraws it, the Cenobite stops fighting and drops its arms to its side. The lead Cenobite watches from afar as the chomping Cenobite backs away from the gate. Trevor and Riley stare wide-eyed, catching their breath. As the Cenobite stops walking backward, the lead Cenobite lifts her hand. The hooked chains fly out from the trees and puncture the Cenobite in its hips, shoulders, and chest. The Cenobite lets its head loll back as the chains rip its body to pieces. Blood splatters Trevor and Riley. Trevor peers through the gate's bars.
Fuck!
In Riley's hand, the puzzle shifts its shape on its own. Colin gets up and hurries over to Riley and Trevor. Riley watches the puzzle change into the long prism-shaped configuration that Joey had found it in. Colin moves the gate to free them.
Hey guys, they're coming again. What do we do? Riley!
Riley sees two more Cenobites with the lead one.
What are we gonna do?
Riley runs for the house.
No! No! Come on, hurry! Come on!
Behind her, Colin helps Trevor limp along.
Come on, get up! Get the fuck up!
No! Hurry!
As they make it inside, Colin lies Trevor on the floor.
Oh my god!
He's bleeding a lot. I think he's gonna start going into shock. Wait, Riley, where the fuck are you going?
Colin closes the front door. Blood coats Trevor's arm.
Oh, what have we done, man? What the hell have we done?
Colin sees two Cenobites walking steadily toward the house. In the gallery room, Riley flips a switch. Looking up to the skylight, she sees the cage closing in. The fortified structure slides in place on the portico, blocking the front doors just as the Cenobites climb the stairs. Colin watches wide-eyed through the glass doors. He looks around at the cage. The Cenobites stand motionless on the porch. Colin turns to face Riley as she returns.
Holy shit! What the fuck did you just do?
I hit the switch!
Oh, fuck. Dude, we have to stop the bleeding or at least slow it down a little bit. Give me your belt.
What?
Give me your fucking belt!
She quickly takes off her belt and Colin wraps it around Trevor's bicep.
One, two, three.
As he tightens it, Trevor grits his teeth. Later, Riley and Colin help him to a couch.
He laid down right here.
Okay, guys, let's
go lay down.
No. We need to find something for his arm.
Riley notices pill bottles on a table.
That's a lot of blood.
She looks at their labels and selects one. She studies the prescription bottle.
These are strong.
She looks up at Colin, and he shifts his gaze. She bows her head, then holds the bottle out to Colin.
You should hold on to them in case he needs some later.
Let me find something for your hand, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As Colin wanders out of the room, Riley turns her attention to Trevor, who lies passed out on the couch. She studies his face, marred with scratches and smears of blood, then settles down beside him, her head close to his. A partially blocked view from within the walls watches her. Later, Riley wraps a bandage around her injured hand as Colin sits with her.
Are they still there?
Colin gets up and peers around a corner. Through the front door, he sees 6 Cenobites gathered on the front lawn. He slowly turns back to Riley.
Yeah, they're not moving.
It's the metal framework, I think, that runs along the whole house. It keeps them out.
It keeps them out for how long? Trevor's not gonna last. What are we gonna do?
You're gonna go. You have to take Trevor and go.
Where? What do you... What?
They have my blood. You realize that, right? It's me that they're after. Stop. Unless I give them one of you, and I'm not going to. I'm not losing anyone else.
Neither am I.
They stare firmly at one another. Then Riley lowers her gaze.
Shit. I don't really feel like taking my chances with those things. So what else you got?
Riley's gaze shifts thoughtfully and lands on the puzzle, which stands upright on a table in the hall. Meanwhile, sweat beads on Trevor's forehead as he shifts in his sleep. Voight shuffles toward him, the large mechanism jutting from his chest. He covers Trevor's mouth with his hand. Trevor wakes and tries to push him off. Voight grabs him by the collar.
Hey, I'm sorry. Listen, things got a little out of control, okay? I know it. It's not exactly what was supposed to happen, but listen.
Voight holds up a finger to silence him. The mechanism in his chest stops moving, and he steps back to take a few deep breaths. He leans in close to Trevor again.
All you have to do is feed the box and bring it back.
I did, Mr. Voight. I did. Okay, I...
Trevor looks toward the door.
She was a mark. I brought her along and she ran with it. I mean, it was supposed to take her, okay?
But
I...
Coward. You should have opened it yourself. You should have made sure.
Okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All right, she got a little ahead of me. So what? She fed it on her own and she brought it here. Right? Things took a turn, all right? I admit that, but I'm handling it.
We're on track, one configuration away.
You're almost there.
Voight's mouth opens wide in an agonized grimace. He turns away from Trevor as his arms tense. He grips Trevor's shoulder. Voight starts to shuffle away.
It's finishing itself. Just be patient.
Voight presses his thumb to the wound in Trevor's arm.
Patience. Every second is a lifetime.
Get it up.
Meanwhile, Riley turns the thin rectangular piece on the puzzle. She flips it over and spins a similar piece on the other side. Colin watches, leaning wearily against a door jamb. Riley twists the top and bottom in opposite directions, and the ends pop out.
Oh, fuck.
Resting her head back against the wall, she glances over at Colin. Taking the ends in each hand, she pushes them together. The blade pops out. Later...
It worked on the big one. We have to assume that it's going to work on another.
Okay, so you want to let one in?
Yes, I know. Just one, though. We let one in, we lure it in, we shut the thing behind it, and then I stab it.
They enter the room with Trevor in it.
You're awake.
What's going on? Riley has a plan.
You good to move?
Later. Colin and Riley sit Trevor up against a column in the gallery room. As Colin steps away, Trevor and Riley look each other in the eyes. Riley lowers her gaze.
I don't guess I can get you to reconsider.
No, you can't get me to do anything.
She smiles a little.
Even when I want you to.
She meets Trevor's gaze again, and he nods. Riley leans in to give him a gentle kiss, then holds his chin in her hand. She whacks him on the shoulder and leaves him sitting alone against the column. Trevor shifts his jaw. Riley and Colin slowly step toward the front doors. They look at each other, then each open one side of the double doors. Framed by the external cage bars, they gaze toward the lawn, taking deep breaths. Riley looks back at Trevor.
Do it.
He looks over his shoulder, then reaches above his head for a switch on the control panel. In front of Riley, the cage bars start to slide away.
Oh, shit. I don't know about this.
The lead Cenobite stands alone at the far end of the walkway. Riley takes a deep breath, then steps forward.
I'm going out there.
Colin remains in the doorway, his jaw slack. Riley takes slow, deliberate steps down the stairs and starts down the walkway. She stops partway, staring at the lead Cenobite, who stands calmly, motionless. Riley glances to her right and sees the hooded Cenobite. To her left, she sees a second horrifyingly mutated demon. Colin takes a few steps toward Riley and swallows hard. Riley looks to the lead Cenobite.
Take me!
A faint smile crosses the Cenobite's lips.
Take me like you took them! Like you took my brother!
Take him. We set them free.
Riley looks to each of the Cenobites. The lead one watches her serenely. Riley's chest heaves with fast breaths. As the Cenobite to her left lifts its hands, they split down the middle. Gooey mucus stretches between the two halves. As it reaches toward Riley, a third Cenobite comes up behind her.
Now, go.
Colin grabs her arm and pulls her back toward the house. All three Cenobites walk toward them. The closest one climbs the steps a few paces behind them. Its skin is stretched over where its face would be. Riley keeps a hand over her mouth as Colin walks her backward through the front doors. As the faceless Cenobite follows, Trevor flips the switch. The heavy framework slowly closes shut behind the Cenobite, locking it inside with the human survivors. Colin and Riley continue to back away as the Cenobite with the split hands approaches the cage. The faceless Cenobite stops suddenly. It inhales through the skin stretched across its mouth. Behind Riley, Colin quivers. Riley holds the puzzle with the blade facing out. She takes slow, cautious steps toward the Cenobite, whose hands are pinned into a prayer position. The Cenobite breaks free of the mechanism binding its hands. It runs at them. As Riley runs into the gallery followed by the Cenobite, a gate closes behind it, locking Colin out. Riley bumps into a column and drops the puzzle. She scrambles through a doorway, and another gate closes on the Cenobite inches from her.
Riley! Riley!
Colin!
You good? What's happening?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Jammed in the gate, the Cenobite reaches fruitlessly for Riley. The skin over its face tears away, revealing a grotesque mouth and tongue beneath.
What's it doing?
I think it's stuck!
Just kill the fucking thing!
I can't! I don't have the box! I dropped it when I fell!
Okay, let me in. Let me in!
Trevor opens the gate, blocking Colin. Colin cautiously approaches Riley on the other side of the room.
Where is he?
It's on the floor to your left. That's where I fell. I ran into the thing.
Okay.
Please hurry.
Colin searches the floor.
I don't see it.
It's just right there on the ground.
He turns and looks around.
I'm not seeing anything, Riley.
I don't know where else. I dropped it right there.
I can't find it.
What do you mean you can't find it?
It's not on the floor. I'm not seeing it anywhere.
A hand grabs Colin.
What?
Voice stabs him.
No!
He slices Colin with the puzzle blade, then pushes him down.
Colin!
Trevor grimaces. Riley gapes at the man with the mechanism in his chest.
I didn't have to do that! The blade would have taken them!
Does it matter? The Cenobites will come. Just like I want them to.
Void places the puzzle on its pedestal.
Oh my god. That's really Void. Trevor, that's him.
In the flesh. Such as it is.
Then he already knew that,
didn't you, Trevor?
Void looks pointedly at Trevor. Riley's eyes shift. Trevor bites his lip and looks away.
You knew? You knew! You knew! You put that thing in my hands and you knew! How could you do that? Why would you do that?
Sorry.
Oh my god. How could you do that?
He was just doing what I paid him to. And he will continue to do so.
Because this is the best deal of his miserable life.
The blade withdraws into the puzzle. Void doubles over in pain.
Oh, what is that? Oh, what the fuck is happening?
Isn't it obvious? I claimed my reward.
In a flashback,
I have experienced everything afforded to man, and still, I wanted more. I chose Liminal. I chose sensation.
The mechanism falls from the skylight and impales his chest.
But the Cenobites, their tastes were not what I imagined. They preyed on my nerves, pulling them in random cycles, stopping just enough so I could never grow numb.
In the present, Voight looks at Riley.
I don't know what they promised you. Knowledge, love. I saw pleasure with all they have to give. It's pain. It's a trick. All of it.
Riley swallows hard. Colin lies on the floor, his breaths quick and shallow. Voight looks to the puzzle as it starts to transform on its own. The pieces form the last elongated diamond-shaped configuration. With a trembling hand, Voight picks it up and places it upright on its point. He looks up toward the skylight.
Open it.
Don't.
You're worshiping me.
Letting them in.
No, no.
Trevor reaches up above his head and flips the switch. As the cage retracts from the skylight, light flashes within roiling clouds above.
Colin! Colin, go!
I can't.
Get up! You have to go!
The room is spinning.
Colin, get up! I can't help you from here! You have
Cowan stands, leaving a pool of his blood behind. He passes Trevor.
Watch him.
Come on. It's over.
Go. Get up. We need him close by.
With a hand gripping his side, Colin trudges down the hallway. He stops as he sees the lead pinhead Cenobite standing in her same position outside the open front doors. Colin's eyes shift and he shuffles off to his right. Behind him, Trevor struggles to his feet. As Trevor limps after Colin, Voight focuses on the puzzle. Blood flows upward from it and drops hit the skylight.
Yes. Take it. I give you their blood. They're suffering.
The blood flows faster. Voight lifts his gaze to the skylight as the blood splatters the glass.
Get it, you bastard. I'm still here. I demand an audience!
Outside, the lead Cenobite lifts her gaze to the sky above the mansion. Green lightning flashes within the dark clouds and splinters across the sky. The Cenobite with the split hands looks up too. A white-headed pin punctures each of its eyes. In the sky, an enormous pointed structure lowers toward the mansion roof. Inside, Voight watches it draw closer to the skylight. Riley looks up. Meanwhile, Colin trudges through a room filled with statues and marble busts.
Colin! It's over. Get back to the room because they're coming.
Colin sees a Cenobite in a doorway and backs up.
We're already here.
The Cenobite, whose face is pulled tight to a bent rod around his head, reaches out toward Colin. As he backs against a statue, the hooded Cenobite strides toward him. As Colin weaves his way around the statues, he stops short, then backs up. Another Cenobite appears in a doorway and walks toward him. Colin makes a run for it around a corner. In the gallery, Riley watches Voight beyond the faceless Cenobite lodged in the gate. On the pedestal, the last of the blood reaches the top point of the diamond-shaped puzzle. Meanwhile, in the red-hued dungeon room, Colin limps away from the curved stairs. Behind him, the hooded Cenobite heads down with slow, measured steps. Colin turns and sees her reach the bottom step. Outside, the large point draws closer to the bright light emanating from the skylight. A maze of stone walls surrounds the mansion for miles. The enormous structure, a giant representation of the puzzle in its last configuration, looms over the mansion in an explosion of dark clouds. Lightning crackles all around it. The lead Cenobite lowers her chin and heads through the front doors. As she nears the puzzle on its pedestal, a gate closes in front of her, cutting her off from the gallery. Downstairs, a gate closes, blocking the hooded Cenobite from Colin. Upstairs, Voight flips another switch, and the framework closes in over the skylight. Riley's eyes widen. The lead Cenobite eyes the gate in front of her. Downstairs, Colin trembles, his eyes locked on the hooded Cenobite on the other side of the gate. In the gallery, Voight hunches as the mechanism in his chest pulls at his nerves. He takes a few deep breaths, then straightens his suit jacket and faces the lead Cenobite.
No. Your chains can't reach me here. Tell your god I've got its disciples. Its priest. What did you think? I built a fortress. I built a cage! And I'm not letting any of you go until it makes me right again.
You reject our gift.
Fuck your gift. Fuck you! Don't take it out of me!
Riley crawls through the gate under the faceless Cenobite's feet.
All this... all for us.
No. Not for you. For me. I get what I want.
Then let us in. To address your displeasure.
Riley sneaks up to the pedestal and snatches the puzzle. As she sidesteps away, Voight notices her. Riley steps around the column and faces the panel of switches. With her hand on a switch, she looks at Voight.
What are you doing?
Isn't it obvious?
Quiet!
As Riley opens the gates, Voight doubles over in pain from the mechanism in his chest. The trapped Cenobite drops to the floor. Riley backs away into the hidden passage in the walls. Downstairs, free of the gate, the hooded Cenobite resumes walking toward Colin. Upstairs, Voight shuffles away from the priest.
Oh.
Downstairs, Colin backs up, his hands held out defensively. Upstairs, Voight pitifully cowers and waves his hand.
Take that.
The priest steps forward, her long robe brushing her bare feet.
Just take it back. I don't want it anymore.
Downstairs, the hooded Cenobite lifts her hand. Colin watches thin wires loop around his forearms. As the Cenobite closes her hand, the wires tighten around his arms. The wires pull taut, stretching his arms out at his sides and digging into his flesh. In the hidden passage.
Colin!
Downstairs, more wires tighten around Colin's legs and midsection. Behind the hooded Cenobite, Trevor limps down the stairs. Meanwhile, Riley rushes toward Colin's screams and makes her way down the curved stairs.
Stop!
Upstairs.
Stay it out of it. I don't want it anymore. Just let me die, I'm begging you. Just...
Voight drops to his knees.
Just let me die.
There is no retreat once a threshold has been crossed. All you can do is search for greater thresholds.
Downstairs, Riley steps closer to the hooded Cenobite.
Not him, I never chose him.
Yes, he is chosen. Marked.
Gifts cannot be ungiven. Only exchanges can be made.
I was told that the box is in my hands, if not me, another. Right? Not him.
Riley, what are you doing?
Upstairs, the priest drifts closer to the trembling Voight.
Perhaps you prefer...
Downstairs.
Another.
The hooded Cenobite smiles at Riley. Riley looks down at the pointed puzzle in her hands. Upstairs, Voight looks up pleadingly.
Anything is better than this.
Perhaps we were wrong about you.
The priest lifts Voight's chin.
You've never sought sensation. Your whole life, every conquest, all your pleasures lie in power.
Power.
The priest takes a few steps back. As Voight watches, his face twitches.
For your efforts, we offer the Leviathan configuration.
Downstairs.
Riley,
Riley faces Trevor.
I tried to stop you.
Remember?
Riley nods.
Yeah? Just put the fucking thing down. Just put the fucking thing down, okay?
Trevor glances aside, then charges at Riley.
Give it to me!
She stabs him in the gut with the point of the puzzle. The wires release Colin. Trevor and Riley fall to the floor. Upstairs, Voight drops to his hands and knees. Pieces of the mechanism in his chest fall to the floor. Blood drips from his open mouth. His body lurches. He vomits out blood-covered washers, nuts, and bolts. As he draws upright on his knees, the part of the mechanism sticking out of his back falls off. Voight looks down at his chest, at the bloody, gaping hole where the mechanism had been. His spine fuses back together, and his nerve endings and muscles reconnect. His heart pumps. Breathing hard, Voight shuts his eyes. His skin fuses back together. Voight opens his shirt further to gaze at his healing chest.
Our power lies in dominance.
and the sovereignty of anguish.
Voight tilts his head back and gazes at the sky. A huge chain plummets through the skylight and strikes him in the chest, knocking him to his back.
And now, it will be yours to wield.
Downstairs, Trevor lies back on the elevated mat. Riley slides the puzzle out of his chest. Colin slowly gets to his feet. A wire appears around Trevor's neck. As it tightens, blood squirts from the gash it makes. Trevor helplessly reaches for the wire as a shimmering light passes over him. More wires tighten around his arms and Riley gapes. The hooded Cenobite smiles. One of the wires around his arm peels his skin back, revealing the muscle underneath. Riley backs away as more wires strap Trevor's head down. At the stairs, she sinks to the floor with Colin. Upstairs, the chain slowly gets pulled up. It lifts Voight up by his chest.
You will know our finest gift. Oh, yes. We have such sights to show you.
The chain draws Voight up to the skylight. Downstairs, Trevor and the mat drop through the platform into a stone-walled passage beneath. Small, blood-stained openings adorn the walls of the narrow, seemingly bottomless pit. Upstairs, the chain continues to slowly pull Voight closer and closer to the brilliant blue light flashing above the skylight. Downstairs, Riley cradles Colin's head in her arms. The shimmering light disappears. They look around the otherwise empty red-walled dungeon. Later, Riley helps Colin limp along a hallway. She holds the diamond-shaped puzzle in her hand. As they pass the doorway to the gallery, Riley pauses.
Go home.
No.
I'll be fine. Okay. Just finish it.
Colin leans against a table as Riley steps away. She takes a deep breath, then enters the gallery to face the Cenobites.
Lament. Lore. Laudarent. Liminal. Lazarus. Leviathan. What would you ask of us?
Riley slows to a stop, holding the puzzle down at her side. The priest faces her calmly. Riley's gaze shifts.
Riley.
She turns her head a little.
Riley, look at me.
She turns back.
Take my hand.
Matt stands before her.
Take me home.
He reaches out to her. Riley takes a few steps toward him, then stops. A shimmering light passes over Matt standing there in his hoodie and blood-stained t-shirt. Riley turns back to face the priest. She shifts on her feet, then shakes her head.
No. I've seen your rewards. I know my brother's gone. I don't want anything from you. Nothing.
Then you have chosen a life of regret. Knowing everything you've done, everyone you've hurt and lost. Your suffering has barely begun.
The priest takes a step closer.
You choose to live. To carry that weight. Bitter and brief. You have chosen the lament configuration.
Riley lowers her gaze from the priest's and looks at the puzzle in her hands. It's in the original cube shape. Riley sets it down on the floor in front of her. As she looks up from it, she finds the priest and other Cenobites gone. Riley's gaze shifts around the room. She looks up at the broken skylight. Lowering her gaze, she blinks, then nods to herself. Her feet shuffle backward, away from the cube. Later, Colin leans on Riley as she helps him down the walk. The pair stare off in a daze with shell-shocked expressions. In her car, Riley reaches for the ignition. Beside her, Colin stares off, lips parted. He glances at Riley, and she leans her head back against the seat.
What just happened in there?
I made a choice.
It was the right one. Right?
Riley nods her head once. Looking off, she sniffs and swallows hard. Now, the view zooms over a pale blue surface like a rippled sheet of ice. The view passes up a man's naked body from his feet to his head.
Roland, it's time.
Pale and hairless, Voight opens his eyes. He gazes up at the bright shimmering light surrounding him. Lying on a golden platform, he lifts his head and gazes down at his feet. As he lets his head rest back again, wing-like pieces of the platform move beneath his arms, causing them to spread wide. Voight turns his head right and left to look at them. The skin covering his bicep peels away along with a section of his palm, revealing the tendons beneath. Voight looks down toward his feet again as more of his skin lifts away from his legs. Sections of his skin peel back from his pelvis and up along either side of his torso. Voight's eyes widen as four long pins fly into either side of his neck. More of the white-headed pins puncture his shoulders. His lips split down the middle, forming a strip of skin on each side that peel back his cheeks and fasten to small bars behind his shoulders, creating a grotesquely open mouth. Voight opens his eyes. As he stares at the brilliant light above him, the whites of his eyes turn black. His transformation to Cenobite complete, Voight lies still and calm. More pins and sections of flayed skin adorn his body as he lies with his arms outstretched as if hanging from a cross. To black. Audio description by Deluxe. Voice by William Michael Redman.